Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. We'd like you to take time to look at your bulletin for announcements. There's quite a bit of activities going on, and we want everyone to be aware of all these activities. Larry, do you have any special announcements as far as the activities?
Many questions have been asked concerning Christmas Day service. It's in the bulletin, but let me call your attention. We will have worship service here on Christmas Day. It will be at 10 o'clock, one service. We'll try to have some refreshments prior to, like normal. I'll give you a maker pot of coffee, probably. Then I think the kitchen committee is going to have a few refreshments afterward. So at 10 o'clock, Christmas morning. That question has come up because some churches have decided to dispense with their services that day, but we will be here for that hour. come and with a personal testimony of what a difference Christ means to you. And that's the subject of the sermon. And you can help, you can maybe preach the sermon if you come with your testimony of what difference Christ has made in your life.
Do we have any announcements from the congregation? Susan? Any other announcements? Jim? Anyone else? Any others? At this time, if we have the attendance books passed out, or if they're already out, we ask that you will sign those to register your attendance and pass it on to your neighbor. Also, if you're the first one to sign, if you would put the date, the 11th and 10:15 up in the corner there. At this time, we'd like to take any prayer requests or praise requests from the congregation. Mike? Anyone else? In preparation for worship at this time, we ask that you bow your heads for a moment of silent prayer and the lighting of the candles. Amen. At this time, we'll turn it over to Steve for a congregational meeting.
announcements a number of years ago, we incorporated. And this meeting is a meeting of the corporation called Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church Incorporated. And there's a long list of reasons why the church incorporated. You've probably heard them before. But Pete Franciscan is the president of the corporation, and I will defer to Pete.
I'd like to open our 2005 corporate meeting. Brother Larry, would you open us in prayer?
Lord God, we thank you for the church. And we know that your word teaches of business meetings among your people from the earliest days. We have to meet and make decisions, and we have to have guidelines that we do things decent and in order. And we pray, Lord, that you will so direct that this will be to the benefit of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
As Larry said, the bylaws require that we have a meeting once a year, and this is our annual meeting. We've got three parts of business to do this morning. First part is that we want to elect the elders that were nominated last Sunday to replace the 2005 class of Diane Riggs, John Wagner, and Jamie Gross. The members nominated last Sunday were Louise Russell, Melanie Stout, Melanie, if you'll stand, and Karen Miles. Karen, if you'll stand. And Louise was at the first service. I would like to have a motion that we elect them as elders for the class of 2000. Can I hear a motion?
I'll make that motion.
I hear a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Opposed? Thank you. All right. The second bit of business is that each year the session has to elect the president, secretary, and treasurer of the corporation. And this year the nominations are Pete for president, myself for secretary, and Ed Stokowski for treasurer. So the session will take care of that business, but I just wanted to let everybody know. And last, we've had an elder that has resigned. Richard Sullivan, Dickie Sullivan, has resigned. He's graduating class of 2006. And the Book of Order, or the Confession of Faith, says that the congregation has to accept that resignation. The session cannot accept that resignation. So in order for us to receive that resignation, I need a motion from some member saying that we will accept that resignation. I need a second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Pete, I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay. To follow up on that, there was 1 year left on Dickie's term of office, and we will have nominations in place real soon. They may come after the first of year. Make nominations possibly the first Sunday of the year, and then have the election the second Sunday of the year for a replacement for Dickie's office.
Is there any other business to come before the corporate meeting? Okay. If not, then I move that it's closed. Brother Larry, would you close?
Lord God, we pray that what has been done is in accordance with your will. Anything that we find out of order, that you find out of order, Lord, we pray that you would bring it to nothing. That is in keeping with your teachings and your Bible that you have given to us for our edification and our order. Lord, we pray that you would just bless it. Thank you for the church through which we come to know you. And in Jesus' name, we offer our prayer. Amen.
Worship this morning is printed in your bulletin. It's responsive. Please join with me. My soul magnifies the Sovereign One.
And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
For God, who is mighty, has done great things for me.
And holy is God's name.
Please stand and join me in hymn number 132, Angels We Have Heard on High.
To God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. God, we come to offer glory to You. And Lord, we thank You for voices and instruments that we can use to
lift up our thoughts, our feelings. Lord, as we have come away from the world into this, Your sanctuary, Lord, we come to speak with You and for You to speak with us. Thank You, Lord, for this time of meeting with Your presence. Lord, let Your Spirit so permeate each fiber, every fiber of our being, that we would know Your presence and we could truly sing glory to God in the highest. And now we pray like Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you.
We express our faith in God through the Apostles' Creed. It's number 716 in the back of your hymnal or projected behind me. Please join me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, it was in the beginning,
is now and
ever shall be, world without end.
The choir is going to sing Mary, Did You Know right now. This was one, we thought it was going to be last week, but it's this week. And we're better prepared.
Did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man?
call to confession this morning comes from Daniel chapter 9, verse 19. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay. Please join me in unison. You have taught us to be patient and promised to supply our needs, O God. Yet we grow weary of waiting and restless with our wants. We blame our troubles on sisters and brothers, withholding from them the tolerance and care you have shown to us. O God, forgive our indulgence and help us to stand firm. In Christ you showed patience with the world in spite of the cross. Teach us to be patient, that in Christ we may have endurance in spite of our need. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness comes from Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace.
This is your chance. If there are Christmas carols that you love that are in the hymnal, I don't know that we can do ones that aren't in the hymnal, but if there are ones in the hymnal that you really love, I'll take some suggestions. So if you have something that you really like, we'll try to find it.
In the 120s.
Yeah, they start in the 120s. Silent Night? Okay, let's see if we can find that one.
147.
147. One of my favorites. Let's do the first and last verses of each one. We'll do a couple of songs. Last verse is this one too. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Thirty-six. First and last.
Children's time with Miss Andrea. If the children would please come to the front, and there will be no children's church today.
We have done the faith candle and the hope candle last week, and this week we're going to talk about love. And I don't know if y'all remember, a couple of years ago in January, I got a little horse named Trapper that was so ugly and pitiful, and he is so beautiful now. And Trapper has really taught our whole family a lot about patience and love and understanding. He gets in trouble a lot. He's meddlesome. He's playful. Some of the other horses don't like him. But you know what? What he's taught me is he never gives up. He keeps trying to be buddies with the horses that don't like him, to his detriment a lot of times. But we got a new horse a couple of weeks ago, and we have three horses now that like Trapper. And we're so excited, plus the goat, Spot, likes Trapper. So he now has lots of friends. But I thought about what he was teaching me there, that you never quit hoping, forgiving, and seeking out, even when people turn away from you and don't want to be friends with you and don't want to hear about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about the love that God showed us. He sent His one and only Son so we could learn from Him, so He would walk on this earth like us, that He would experience what we experience, and we could relate better because we're a little slow sometimes on the uptake, you know, of what's going on and figuring out what we need to do. We want to do what we want to do. That's just human nature. But we have Jesus who came, spent time on earth, gave us the Word. You know, we've got the Word that teaches us. You know, you hear about all those bracelets say, what would Jesus do? Well, you know, it tells us, doesn't it? It tells us what Jesus would do in situations. God doesn't ever give up on us. Our Heavenly Father never gives up on us. Sent His Son for us. What greater love is that? He came, He died for us, and all we have to do is accept Him and love Him. And that is a real good lesson for us here at Christmas time and all through the year to remember. And think about Trapper. Think about Trapper, who was a little horse that none of the other horses liked. None. They hurt him really bad. He came through all that. He got his friend Spot. You know, Spot likes him. The goat loves him. And he loves Spot. But now he has three horses like him who like him. And it's all because he's also gotten smarter. So when they act like they're going to kick at him, he now stands way off and comes back. He circles, makes a big circle. You know, he's gotten a little smarter. And sometimes we have to do that, too, with people. Sometimes we have to give them some space. Maybe we've tried to talk to them about Jesus. Maybe we've tried to approach them in love about Jesus, and they simply just don't want to hear it at that time. But you know what? That doesn't mean that some other day that you might not talk to them, and it'll stick that time. And they'll say, you know what? Tell me more. Tell me more about your Lord and Savior. I'm ready to listen now. So let's remember that lesson, okay? Love. And let me go ahead and light this candle, and we'll go up and sing with Miss Melanie. Okay, obviously you hold it straight. Yes, it is, isn't it? Love. Let's remember that. Okay, let's go up and sing. You want to come up and sing with us? Okay, wait.
Our offertory sentence today comes from Psalms 4:5. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward?
fill us with your love. Father, we are so grateful for this time of year as we reflect on what you did for us, giving us your Son, the ultimate sacrifice, so that we might have a life in heaven. Pray for these offerings you have used to get your kingdom.
And sing hymn number 157. We'll sing the first and last verses of that one. And then since we've already sung Silent Night, what we'll do is jump up and sing. Well, we won't jump up. Well, if you want to jump up, you can. But we'll sing, jump to the top of the page. We'll sing 120. That's 128. It came upon a midnight clear. So we'll put that one in there where Silent Night was. And then we'll sing, Oh Come All You Faithful. We'll sing the first verses of It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, and Oh Come All You Faithful, but two verses of Away in a Manger for the little one. First.
You touch their hearts of gold.
145. I believe that's the one. Missing the first verse. Scripture lesson today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 24. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire, do not treat prophecies with contempt, test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. The Christmas season, we center in on and give our attention to His coming as a baby. But we also need to remember, and we have this year from the pulpit, I believe, His coming again. We're waiting. We're waiting for that coming. Hopefully you haven't given up. Hopefully you haven't given up. People in the first century gave up. They didn't think He was coming. They thought Jesus had misled them. But the apostles kept saying, He is coming. The fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians tell us about the coming of Jesus. The 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians tell us about the coming of Jesus. Peter talked about the coming of Jesus in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. How do we wait? As we wait for His coming, how do we wait? The entire chapter of fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians talks to us about how to wait. We're centering in on verse 16 and following this morning, and may not get through the entire outline that's before you. It's on the backside of the poinsettia dedication, I believe. Different people wait in different ways. How do you wait? Be it coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, be it the birth of a baby into your family, be it a dinner party that you're waiting on the guests to arrive, or someone to come to pick you up, to take you somewhere. Maybe for the girls it would be the date coming to pick you up to go to prom or to go to something else. I've discovered that different people wait in different ways. We're not thinking about how we wait, but the different what we think about waiting this morning, or whether we like it or not. It's just, how do we do it when we're waiting, wherever we are? Some pace the floor. Do we have any floor pacers this morning? We're not happy with waiting, so we pace the floor. Or maybe we need some exercise, and we could say, yes, I can use this time and do it with a smile to get the little exercise I need. So we pace the floor. We go to the window and look out. If we have Venetian blinds, we open them up Some go in and push them down. I keep saying to people who push down on the blinds, that breaks the blinds. All you have to do is just push up on it, and you can see through there also, and it may wear out the strings on the blinds, but it doesn't break them. You didn't ask for a lesson on looking through a Venetian blind, though, but maybe you need it. Maybe if you want your blinds to last a long time. Some pace the floor, and some go to the window and look out if it's the winter time, or they go to the door and look out if it's summertime and that door is open. Some people eat while they wait. If you have a habit of eating, we go and walk by the kitchen counter or kitchen cabinet, we find some nuts or some cookies, especially in the Christmas season. We find some, what's that, nuts and bolts. It's really cereal mixed with nuts and a little oil put on it. It's heated. Man, is it good, but is it terrible for you? Maybe it's not that bad after all, though. Some people can wait real patiently and they can say, well, I can use this time to read a book or to read a chapter or two in the book. So they get their book, they sit down and they wait, and then they get so engrossed in the book, when the person is coming to take them somewhere, comes in, they don't even notice them because they're reading, or maybe they don't. Some people just work. They're doing a job, and maybe they're cleaning the house, and they just keep on cleaning house till they get there. Some people talk continually, and that's probably my situation. I probably talk a lot while I'm waiting, talk about how I don't like to wait on other people. Some continue to prepare, especially if it's that dinner guest that's coming. Maybe we have a dinner party planned, and we have invited a few guests over, maybe a number of guests, and we've prepared the table, and we're waiting for them to get there, and they're a little late, so we go and look at that table again, and we'll move a plate here, and we'll move a dish of food here, or we'll move something else there, we'll redo the chairs. We just do it all matter of activity just to get everything just right. What do we say while we're waiting? Some people say, well, he ain't coming. And others would say, well, he's got to come. I just can't live if he doesn't come. That is, in some situation. Some will say if he was coming or she was coming, he would already have been here. Some will say, I'm tired of waiting, let's eat. Others say, if he's going to come, why don't he come on? And nobody can answer that one. Some will say, I wonder what the holdup is. And we'll even say, well, what's the holdup? He'll get a piece of my mind, or she'll get a piece of my mind when they get here. I don't like to wait. Others will say, sometimes we say, I wonder what's keeping him. Construction. How many of you have been waiting for construction? You know, we've only been in construction here for about 4 months, but it seems longer than that, don't we? We don't know what door we'll get to come in today or what door we'll get to come in the next day. I think a little 2-year-old showed up at the 8 o'clock service and said to his mother, oh, they broke the church. They broke the church because we couldn't come in the front door. That was one story I heard this morning. He didn't know about waiting. Hopefully, we'll be through before Christmas with the construction. They even laid bricks yesterday. They're not waiting. But 2 days ago, 3 days ago, they had to quit because of the rain. And another day, they couldn't lay because of the low temperature. Our lesson is about waiting. As we wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, be ready at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I told you that the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians talks about His coming, and then the fifth chapter seems to get into how we should live as we wait. It's not the only passage, and I've probably preached this sermon before. I believe last year I preached it from Peter's instruction about how we should wait. Maybe a little different slant on it, but sometimes we need to be reminded. So if you've heard this one before, you've listened to songs 3 times, but you haven't heard this exact sermon. In our lesson, we said the Apostle Paul is talking about waiting for Jesus to come. The instruction Paul gives us can apply to Jesus coming as a baby. Those people before Jesus was born, those people before Paul was on the scene preaching, they had to be instructed over and over. These instructions would have fit great right back there, but they were not given then. But Paul probably used the... He did use the Old Testament as a basis to give a lesson for
the New Testament people waiting for Jesus to return. They are good for the coming of Jesus for, you call it the consummation or the end of all things, or for some it will be a great and terrible day, but a great resurrection morning. As we wait for that great resurrection morning, how do we wait? First verse, the first verse of our passage this morning tells us how to wait. One thing that we can do and do every day of our life in some way is to be joyful. To be joyful. Paul says, be joyful always. How many of us really think about this? Especially when something rough comes into our life, a tough experience. How joyful are we? Or something that we don't agree with. Can we still be joyful? Paul says, be joyful always. One version, I believe it's the Amplified version of the Scriptures. If you have an Amplified Bible or Amplified New Testament, you might be interested to get it out and see all the synonyms that are used here in this passage, and especially in this first verse. It says, be happy in your faith. That's how this editor translated be joyful always. Be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted. Be glad-hearted continually. And I believe there's a parenthesis that says always, parenthesis closed. Be glad-hearted continually, or be glad-hearted always. It's okay for Christians to be happy. But you go into some churches, you wouldn't believe that. You believe it was a requirement that we just be sad. That we be sad. I've seen it. I still enjoy walking by a group of Christians who are laughing, and I'll say, y'all are too happy to be Christian. I say that tongue-in-cheek, and I say it often, and it is tongue-in-cheek. I'm glad to see that we can rejoice. It's okay for Christians to be happy, contrary to what some may believe and have us to believe. Bruce Larson, Presbyterian writer, pastor, very popular in the 70s. And he told about a conference that he went to, a conference of Presbyterians. And it's us Presbyterians who have trouble showing joy or rejoicing sometimes. We're kind of long-faced and sad sometimes. And he went to a conference, and they knew that Presbyterians had trouble saying hallelujah, praise the Lord, or anything like that, expressing themselves vocally during a conference even or a worship service. So to help the people show praise for God, they gave each participant a helium-filled balloon. And if they got joyous or felt like saying hallelujah or praise the Lord or glory to God or something of that nature, if they didn't want to speak it out or were too timid to speak it out or were too, you know, encumbered to speak it out, that they'd just release a balloon. So throughout the service, people would release the balloon. And the helium balloon, it would ascend to the ceiling. But the sad part is at the end of the service, one-third of the people had not released their balloon. One-third of the balloons were still being held by the people. They went to a conference, evidently, based on what they did here, to give the balloons, if you want to express hallelujah through releasing a balloon, evidently it was a conference on joy and being joyful or had something to do with it. But they did not feel free even to release their balloon. And it could have been that the speaker was dull or something like that. Surely they could have released their balloon when it was over, though, could they not? See, we have an answer, do we not? Do we ever rejoice in the Lord. Let me challenge you to let your balloon go. Or rejoice in the Lord. And it could be just expression on your face. Presbyterians come to church sometimes knowing we'll sing joy to the world, and we won't even think about what we're singing. But can we really sing that and not be joyful? Oliver Wendell Holmes, does anybody remember him from history? He was a Supreme Court justice, I believe, for about 30 years. And he tells about how he chose a law career over the ministry. Maybe he must have felt called somewhere along the way to the ministry. Because in later life, his testimony was that he might have entered the ministry and become a preacher if certain preachers that he knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers. Now, I have some good friends who are undertakers, and back in the office, they can laugh. Or back in the lobby, they can laugh and have fun, you know. But you know, out front, they are professionally sad people, right? So they have to act dignified and serious and kind of long faced. That's kind of the way it is. I still remember Mary Beth's mama's funeral. And I told a story or two about her life, or experiences. And one lady came away saying, you know, I've never laughed at a funeral before. And I like to go to funerals now and say, hey, it's okay to laugh. And I believe Savetta came and attended the funeral here. Where did Savetta get off to? But anyhow, she's in the back, listened to this sermon twice, I guess. Savetta, I didn't use this part in it the other time, though. But Savetta went to a funeral here, and the kids got it. Mr. Hobart's funeral, and those grandkids got up and told stories about their granddaddy, and we laughed. And what did you say, Savetta? Something to the effect that you didn't know you could go to the funeral and laugh. It doesn't happen where she came from, basically. But it's okay, even, not laugh at the people. You know, we've got some memories of people. We can be happy that Jesus is coming again, coming to claim us. Now, if our life is a mess, if we haven't trusted Him to forgive us and clean us up, it would be a sad day. It could be a day of, who wants to think about that? Let's rejoice in the Lord that He is coming to claim His own. If we are awaiting heaven, in all of the glories of heaven, that the Word of God that we say we believe, if we're awaiting all the glories of heaven, isn't it time to really rejoice? The second thing Paul says is rejoice. After he says rejoice, is while we wait, pray, and pray without ceasing. Matthew Henry, this theologian of centuries ago, says that the way to rejoicing evermore, or the way to rejoicing continually, is to pray without ceasing. And he goes on to say that the meaning here is not that we should do nothing but pray, but that nothing else we do should hinder our prayers. We got to work. That's what one of the things that Paul insisted to the Thessalonians. As they were waiting for Jesus to come, they quit work, they sat down, they wouldn't work. Expected somebody else to feed them, I guess, or expected Jesus to come before dinner. Or maybe come and bring dinner. He had fed the multitudes before he died, remember. It's not that we do nothing but pray, but we let nothing hinder our prayers. Live in a spirit of prayer. Live in a spirit of prayer. We can do that as we're dusting the house or vacuuming the house or raking leaves or driving down the road. We can be aware of the presence of God, and we can commune with Him while we're riding. Even when we wake up at night, we can pray. We can pray, Lord, help us get back to sleep, or Lord, just glory to You. Sunday mornings when I wake up early, you know what I do? I pray for this service. And I try to see people in the service. and that we will communicate, and that we will share together in the Lord's work and the Lord's ministry, and in this service that we'll be able to bring glory to Him. Then a third thing, verse 18, pray giving thanks. Give thanks. William Barclay says that there is always something for which to give thanks. Jim and Holly, can I use you this morning? Didn't plan it, but you're here. They've had a sad 2 weeks. It was a sad day when I got word that their house was on fire. But Jim, you know, you got friends you didn't know, you didn't think you had, probably. There's some good that can come out of a tragedy. This tragedy. Or any other tragedy. Give thanks. There's always something for us to give thanks for. Even, and I'm quoting Barclay, but I believe it, even on the darkest of days, we have blessings to count. Philippians 4, 6. Paul stated, writing to the church at Philippi, in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God with thanksgiving. That's the emphasis here. Paul teaches in this lesson from Thessalonians, it's the will of God. It's God's will that we offer thanks. And this fall, I have learned, you know, we've preached, be thankful in every circumstance, but maybe not, we don't have to be thankful for every circumstance, the bad parts of life. But a devotional writer, and I read it one morning when I needed it. Devotional writer said, even be thankful for the bad circumstances. Consider it like being put through the refiner's fire. And hopefully God can use this in a life, a bad circumstance, as a refiner's fire. It proves to yourself, when you get through it, that you're tough. That you're really serious about your faith. So God, can we say, God, thank you for this terrible circumstance? Think about it. And you add that particular circumstance in there. You insert it in. Thank you for this terrible circumstance that I'm in. Can we thank Him for it? I offered thanks for the circumstance, and it was kind of like a light coming on. I believe that I'm stronger for it. William Barclay says that the three marks of a genuine church is a happy church, a praying church, and a thankful church. A happy church, a praying church, and a thankful church. You can go on to verse 19. You have it on the outline there. It tells us that while we wait, let the fire of the Spirit burn. Or do not put out the Spirit's fire. One of the saddest things about church is someone will come up with a Spirit-given encouragement. A Spirit-given idea. God gives them an idea and encourages that person to express it before the church. And someone will pour water on it. Quench the Spirit. At the end of this service, someone will come up and extinguish the candles. That needs to be done to save wax and to prevent a fire. We know about that. But what about quenching the Spirit? So often, the spirit of someone has been quenched by a word given in the wrong tone of voice. Paul says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. The Holy Spirit is always symbolized by fire. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't quench the Spirit.
And then somebody will have a prophecy. It could be something about the future. That's what prophecy is. Foretelling of the future. It could be speaking forth God's Word. This is what God says. Thus saith the Lord. And someone will hear it and make light of it. You can make light of it by just ignoring it. But some of them even ha-ha about it. And Paul says here, as we wait, don't treat prophecies with contempt. For see, if we don't believe in prophecy, we don't believe Jesus is coming back, do we? So that's a prophecy. That's something that's going to happen in the future. It's been revealed to Paul, revealed to Jesus. Jesus promised it. Those verses in the bottom of your outline, they're about Jesus leaving and promising to come home. Come back to earth, which is not our home. And take us home. Promise to come back and claim us and take us back home to heaven. So, verse 20. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. But he does say test everything. Don't just take anybody's word that it's a prophecy from God. We need to be careful anytime, especially as we wait for Jesus to return, that we test the prophecies. We test the proclamation. And I can't forget that Paul was preaching in a place called Berea. And the Berean people got out their Bible. They got out their Old Testament scroll, what it was. The New Testament had been written at that time. And they looked up what Paul quoted to make sure he wasn't leading them astray. And that's what I hope that you do, that you go and get into your Bible. Because teaching from the pulpit, you can only just kind of scratch the surface. But I encourage you to get in your Bible. Test what I say. Test what any preacher says. Test it. You'll find some good in it. Hold on to it. You'll find something that may be even silly and foolish. Well, we can laugh about it, but you know we can cast it aside. If you find something that's wrong, certainly cast that. Test it by what the Word says. We have the New Testament and the Old Testament. And then we move on to verse 22. Avoid every kind of evil. Avoid every kind of evil. That's self-explanatory, is it not? You know, this is the way to live, even if Jesus wasn't coming back. The Christian way, the way Jesus taught, the way Paul taught. You know, and Paul's had two messages, love God and be fair to your fellow man. That's love your fellow man. That's what Jesus said, the greatest commandments, to love God. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself, love your fellow man. Paul came teaching the same thing. But this is a great lesson, even if Jesus wasn't coming back. If we're just going to die and be dead. Better than fighting, isn't it? Better than hating, isn't it? But His coming again makes it, to me, doubly important. Or triply important, if that's a word. And then Paul, kind of ascription of praise, maybe a benediction. May God sanctify your whole being. And he says, body, soul, and spirit. However many parts we have, if we have a body and a soul, or and a body and a soul and a spirit, and there's a lot of discussion on what he means, what the Bible means by each of these. But your whole being, your entire person, may God sanctify you. May He set you apart. May He sanctify you fully. The whole person. May He bless you. Let us pray. Lord God, thank You that You are coming again. Thank You that, Lord, that this earth is not the end, that we have the hope of eternity.
around your throne, singing praises to you, Lord. We'll all have good voices and we'll all be acceptable. We'll all be rejoicing. We'll be in the spirit of prayer. We'll be in your presence, Lord. Thank you for it. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 138 is the song, and let's sing one verse. It's really about Jesus coming as a baby. Go tell it that Jesus Christ is born. We might also tell that Jesus has been born in our hearts, and we might also tell that Jesus is coming again. 138. Stand together and sing the first verse. Maybe you have a public response that you would make this morning. If so, I will greet you here at the altar and we'll commit it to the Lord. Into the world, may we be light for Jesus in the world. Amen. You are dismissed.
Thank you. Thank you.